session this morning, we start with the importance of human relationship. We spoke of listening to God. Listening to God and listening to someone else are intimately related. Learning to love God and learning to love our neighbor, we cannot separate. You cannot say me and my Jesus without practical implications. If you want a strong relationship with God, hear Him, we need to deal with the practical relationships. I just gave you an example of someone who harmed me, and with Sandra, we blessed him. We prayed for him. We still had some people of his family in our church that we blessed, that we prayed for. We cannot control the others. What we can control, what we can deal with, is our hearts. We can work on our hearts. And I ended up in the field in Central Africa giving seminars on conflict management, how to deal with conflicts. And I said to the people, I'm very well blessed because I'm French. And the French, we have been at the origin of two world wars. So we have a lot of experience in conflicts. And hopefully we have learned something out of these stupid things. I don't come as the one who has never had conflicts, I come as one who has experienced quite a few conflicts. When we were in Eastern Congo, sometimes we were threatened. And I remember it was a few days after the wonderful prayer night I described yesterday, where we saw reconciliations. Just after, the biggest army group called the M23 fled away. For the history buffs, you can go online. You will see, you can go Great Lakes conflict, M23, and you can hear about that. Then I went to another district, and I went to a little airport. You have to know that in Eastern Congo, and in Congo in general, you have the biggest United Nations contingent of the whole world. It's, I don't know if it's 30,000 blue helmets. It's the biggest of the world still today, as far as I know. I was in an airport. I took pictures before going to take the plane. You have to be cautious. Don't take pictures of official things in Congo. In case you don't know, don't do that. So I felt it's old planes, 50 years old. It was Tupolev Aeroflot planes from Russia. I loved it, so I took the pictures. And then I got to the airport, and the official in the airport says, have you taken pictures of the airport? I knew I was in trouble. Because people, we were the two, with my colleague Gabi, we were the two only white people in this area, so we are the subject of attention. So if he asked me, I knew he must have seen me with my phone on. Don't think you have savage, stupid people in Africa. They are clever guys. They know how to use a phone. They know how to zoom, how to search for an app. They are clever people, you know. Don't imagine they are in the jungle or whatever. Don't think that kind of stuff. So I said yes. I took pictures, not of the airport, but before. He said, could you show me, please, the pictures? So I opened my phone, I show him. He says, could you zoom on? He could do that. He knows how to use two fingers to zoom on a picture. He can do that. He said, show me. Could you zoom on this plane? And in front of the plane, of one of these old planes, there was a little guy with a white shirt. And then he says to me, do you know who is this person? We said, no. He says, this is an official of the Congolese government. Did you ask his permission to take the picture? No. He said, he begins to shout in the airport, insult me, calls the guy, did he ask you to take the picture? No, he did not. Oh, shame on him. You have to know we are in a place of the world where if you do something which is not right, you can be beaten, you can be sent to jail. A lot of stuff can happen. And when I said jail, it's not the nice European or American jails where you have food, TV, people taking care of you. You have no food,
You end up with people who can be sick. There we have epidemics of cholera, we have people with AIDS, and so on. And you don't know what can happen. You have no idea what can happen. So, I was not very happy about this. So he takes my phone, he puts it. Of course, I offered to remove the picture. Of course, I did that. But he did not accept. He took my phone, put it in his drawer, says, you will never see your phone again, and you can forget about your plane. We are in a war zone, in a zone of civil war. We have 50 United Nations planes aligned outside the window of this tiny airport. It's a small room airport. And then it makes me stand and wait. I'm with my colleague, Gavin. I say, Gavin, what do you think is going on? He says to me, well, Stefan, my experience in Congo is he will ask you for money. Perhaps it starts at $200, but if you, and we pay often in dollars in Congo. He said, you can discuss with me, perhaps you can bring the price down to 20. My guess. So I said, okay, we pray. And I did spend time in prayers and morning. It's not a magic trick. It's a key way to prepare to stay with God during the day. The purpose of prayer is not to trick God. It's to stay in the presence of God and to work with Him so that we are more sensitive to His guidance during the day. Okay? We are not the masters. We are servants of God. And He does take care of His servants. If they learn to listen to Him and to what He tells us. If we don't listen to Him, don't be surprised that you get in more trouble than you need to. Troubles will come, for sure. But you don't need to have more than needed. So this one, well, I said, okay, Lord, in my heart I prayed. I trust you. I stayed peaceful. I did not begin to, what will you do? Will you put me to jail? Will you? And the guy made me wait for half an hour in this tiny airport, standing in front of him without saying a word to me. The flight was supposed to arrive in the half hour. By God's grace, you know that God can delay planes sometimes? By God's grace, the plane was delayed. And I thank the Lord for that. After half an hour, he pulls the phone out of the drawer, says, remove this picture, I remove it. Remove this picture, I remove it. He gives me the phone and he says, you can go. That was something weird. He did not ask for money, gave me back the phone, and sent me to the plane. He had shouted insults at me. Do you know what I did? I said, thank you very much, sir. I'm very grateful for your kindness and for your grace. May I pray for you? He looks at me, says, yes. May I bless you? He says, oh, okay. What is your name, sir? A key thing when people are aggressive, love is breaking barriers often. In war zones, for people who have experience in war zones, when someone wants to harm you, if you're able to create a connection, asking the name of the person, or to know what they really want, what is important in their life, often the violence will disappear. It's something that hostage trainers, people who train others for hostage situations, teach you. Create a bond. In my case, I did not do it to get something. I did do it because my Lord is Jesus. And what did He say to do with people who curse you? Bless them. Did He curse me? So what was Jesus asking me to do? To bless Him. So I asked Him, what is your name, sir? He said, my name is Saul. How can I pray for you? He says, could you pray that I keep my job? Okay. So he has cursed me very loud, so I'm more a low voice person, more introvert type. I prayed the loudest of all my life.
And I said, Lord, bless my brother. Bless him with your holiness. Teach him your path of holiness so that he learns to walk with you and receive all the blessings you have for him. So I pray,
teaching. I'm always teaching something. So I pray teaching holiness with my prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
When I'm done, you have his colleague who says, sir, could you also pray for me? What the devil intended for harm, God turned it out for good. In your lives, you have conflicts. Who is winning? You do not fight against flesh and blood, but you fight against spirits, powers, dominations. How do you fight your conflicts? Do you let bitterness cut relationships because you don't want to forgive, you want the people to feel the pain? Or do you learn that Jesus is able to deal when someone needs to be punished, God can do it his way, but you don't need to be involved. You don't need to want harm for others, that you can bless even the people who harm you. Have you learned that? It's extremely, extremely, extremely important. You cannot play games with your Christian faith. You cannot, on one side, want to be efficient and let conflicts mess up in your heart. Forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness is a foundation of your walk with Christ. Forgiveness of others, forgiveness of ourselves. You know that sometimes we are harsh with ourselves? That we criticize, we say, I should not. Have you ever said that thing? I should not have done that. Who is speaking? Is it God who is speaking when you do that? The more I encourage people, I say to persons, introspection is a disease of the heart. Introspection is a disease of the heart. It's when you speak with yourself all the time. Because when you do that, you're not speaking with God. Learn to speak with God and let impressions come back so that your heart is always open to God. I'm serious about that. Because Jesus was serious about that. You know, we are supposed to be Christ-like disciples. Do you happen to know that Jesus was all the time speaking with God? Well, if you think I'm crazy, you're correct, because I do that all the time. I speak, and I don't speak alone with myself, because when you speak alone with yourself, the devil can introduce just one thought. You know, if a car goes straight, and you push just a little bit on the side, what happens? The car begins to turn in circle. Will you go far with that? You begin to go nowhere. And your life turns in circle, and in circle, and in circle. Just with a little push. Do you have push in your life that you let mess up with you? Do you have conflicts that God wants to resolve in your heart? Either God wants you to forgive someone, either God wants you to forgive yourself something stupid you did. If you wonder if you did stupid things in your life, I can tell you the answer, yes you did. As I have, and it's okay. God is not looking for people who are healthy, he's looking for sick people. It has not changed. Does it mean he wants us to stay sick? No, he wants us to pray for each other, to welcome his healing at a physical level, but at a spiritual level also. Yesterday we prayed for Dave's wife. Dave, would you like to give an update on your wife?
Yes, I called her this morning and she said she had slept all the way through the night. She had no pain or anything, and so she felt really good this morning. And she wanted me to tell everybody thank you and say hi to everybody and say thank you for your prayers.
Great. Shall we say thank you to Jesus for that?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful news
that Dave's wife is feeling better now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you because you want us to learn to pray for each other very practically and to learn together to welcome your grace in simple and beautiful ways. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And God is so happy to give us occasions to pray. Today we have another occasion we can pray for my wife. Isn't it nice? So we did pray with her, with brothers and sisters before, and we will check with Sandra how she's doing. After we prayed, Sandra said it's doing a little better. How much pain would you say now, Sandra?
It's a bit painful because of the ice.
Okay, if the ice is painful, remove the ice. And check if the swelling is there or not. Okay. This business of forgiveness.
I just want to say something.
Yes. Yes.
And yesterday, praying the song, I could see, and I slept all the night.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to forgive.
You needed to forgive?
Yeah. And I'm ready to forgive, and I forgive, and I give it all to God.
And do you sense it gave you peace?
Yes.
Yes. You know who is the first person you harm when you keep unforgiveness in your heart?
Yes.
It's yourself. You harm yourself. So be selfish once in a while and forgive. Don't think someone else has the power to destroy your ministry. When you give to a person this power, you insult God. Because you say, this person, you know how it works? Because of this person, I cannot do that. Have you ever thought this way? It's stupid. Where is your God? Do you have a pocket God or you have the creator of the universe? Let's stop it, my friends. Let's have common sense. Nobody, whatever is power, can mess up with you if your relationship with God is in line. But for this relationship to be in line, you cannot let bitterness mess up your heart. It's not an option. Does it mean life will be easy? No. But it means you will bring fruits. It means you will be a blessing. Nobody can stop you from bringing fruits for the gospel. Nobody. And the question is not how important we are in hierarchy. These things go up and down. At a technical level, I was field strategy coordinator. It's just under the regional director. Do you know that a regional education coordinator is under? Did you know that? Just for you to know. Jay is very gracious to me. But that's the truth. I cannot come to your field without Jay saying come. If Jay says no, you don't come. That's the truth, because a field strategy coordinator, for those who are new to the Nazarene mission, he is overseeing the field. And it's a good structure. Well, do you think I'm stupid because I moved from a position with more authority, with 400 churches, a revival, to be a regional education coordinator? I hope not. I sent Jesus telling me, that's where I want you. And in your life, don't let hierarchy mess up your heart. Don't let power mess up your heart. Our whole purpose is to do what God tells us. If He asks you to sell flowers and bless people when you sell flowers, do it. It's where the most amazing blessings will come. If you look at the people in Christianity who are the most revered, it's rarely the ones who had high positions. Have you noticed that? It's your life journey which brings fruit. Your heart journey with God. Nobody can mess up that. We have to remember it. And to learn to work together. That's practical. I have a lot of experience with conflict. Stupid things I did, stupid things people did, and how we have learned, or we learned together to deal with that. If you want stories of my foolishness, I have quite a few to share with you also. If it can help you to feel good, I will be happy to share. And I guess you have your stories also. So let's learn together. And that's one of the key steps we do when we lead people to dialogue with Jesus. Jesus said, when you stand in prayer, if you feel good and if you sense it's the moment, forgive. Does he do that? No, he says, when you stand in prayer, forgive. Because if you don't forgive, the Father does not forgive you. Which means your relationship with God is messed up. If you keep wanting the other's harm, you will not be able to have a good relationship with God. Can you speak with God in this case? Of course not. It will be messed up. Will God still speak to you somehow, even when you keep bitterness? One of the amazing things with our God is sometimes he does. Will he speak more and more clearly if you forgive? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now the question will be, where are you in your journey? The more you have been in ministry, the more you know about the wounds and the harms and the pains and the struggles. You know that. Is your heart at peace with God? Is there someone which comes to your mind you sense, I need to forgive this person? Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Reconciliation comes after forgiveness. First you forgive in your heart. Then you come to speak with the person, if possible, to deal with the issue. The truth is, most of the wounded relationships, the two sides are guilty in different amounts. Sometimes it's a 90%, 10%, but in adult relationships, in general, it's 1%. When a kid is abused by a parent, it's a 100% for the person who abuses the kid, of course. But for our human adult relationships, we have to say, okay, God, did I do something which could have harmed the other? We have to be ready for that. And to say, I'm sorry, sometimes you have only done 10% of the problem. Still, be willing to say, I'm sorry for the 10%. If the person responds to you, yes, you're stupid and you should not have done that, well, you cannot go further. You can just say, do you forgive me for this, what I did? And the person hopefully will forgive. You have done your part, and you pray for the other. And if needed, you can say, you know, on your side, I have the impression that there is something you did which is not right. And you try, you do your best. Can one person solve the problem of the two, or do we need the two? We need the two. We need to speak in truth and in love. The love part, we should not forget it. No harshness, but respect. So as we learn to be in tune with God, these human relationships are so important. So important. So let's pray together, and I invite you to do an exercise. You ask God, like Lail or like Leal. Leal, I'm sorry, I'm still... Do you forgive me? Good. Leal. I joke a little bit. But it's good to be ready to say, do you forgive me? Because you know what, we are learning together, imperfectly. So, like Leal did yesterday, some of you will need to deal with some issues now. Remember, it's the power of the gospel which is at stake. Don't take time to keep poison in your heart. Get rid of the poison right now. And afterward, if needed, do your best to see if a relationship can be healed. But the first thing is, forgive, because it's the path of life. It releases you, and when you forgive, invite the Spirit of God to take the place where there was bitterness. So peace comes in your heart. Okay, so you ask, is there someone I need to forgive? You remember, you don't only analyze, you let things come. It's very different. You analyze, you think, who do I need to forgive? Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. That's the heart, the beam. It's okay, it can help. But shift also to this one. Lord, is there someone I need to forgive? And in your heart, you let impressions come.
Sometimes the picture of someone will come which surprises you. You know what? It will not harm. If you sense you have already forgiven the person, bless the person. It's very hard to bless someone and to be unforgiving. So if needed, you don't need to multiply forgiveness, but blessings you can say as many as you want. So you pray and you let in your heart impressions come. If already you know there is someone, go for it, of course. But be willing to open your heart to God and let the image of someone or a name or a sense that yes, there is someone I need to forgive. It's practical. And you should sense practically peace in your heart. Did you sense, Leanne, peace in your heart yesterday? Yes.
Peace and life.
Peace and life. Yes.
Light.
Peace and light. Thank you. So let's pray together. You will have a few minutes. It's important. Lord Jesus, we want to learn to listen to you. And one of the things you told us is when you pray, if you have something to forgive, forgive. Listening and obeying are related, Lord. You want life for us. You want us to be free from harm. Some of us, we have been harmed, or we have the impression we have been harmed. It's enough to know that we have to forgive. Guide each of my brothers and sisters as they pray. And my friends, don't say, Jesus, help me to forgive. If you say that, you're confusing God's part and your part. Your part is to forgive. Don't play game with God. Don't say, help me to have the desire to forgive. It's a joke. You're playing games with God. Don't do that. Just say, Jesus, in your heart, or aloud as you want, Jesus, I forgive this person for this thing. Be precise. Be simple. Don't fuss around. Forgiveness is simple. We have a simple God. And if you sense you have been hard on yourself, it's the case of quite many people, say to God, you forgive yourself for something what you have done wrong. If it's a fuzzy sense of guilt with no clarity, often it does not come from God. Ask God to get rid of that, or to show you if there is something you have to ask for forgiveness. And ask God's peace to come as you go through this process. Lord Jesus, we give you these minutes, they are important. Bless my sisters, bless my brothers, as we journey together to be closer to you, Lord. Amen. I let you pray. People can wound you, but they cannot destroy you. One of the most important lessons you can learn is that through the wounds you receive, God brings graces which will surprise you. Who senses you could forgive and you sense a deeper sense of peace? Could you raise your hands? You could sense yes? That's important. That's very important that we learn forgive, to let go. The deepest wounds in your life are where God will bring the most amazing blessings. The deepest wounds in your life is where God will bring the most amazing blessings as you forgive. Perhaps you think, ah yes, but my wound is deeper than what you share. I will share one of my wounds. When I was 4 years old, I began to be beaten at school in France, every day, by kids who were harsh. Probably they were beaten at home also. School became a nightmare from my 4 years old all the way through. And I began to hate myself because I did not know how to fight back. I became paralyzed by fear, terrors. I was so afraid. My life was a nightmare of fears, of being paralyzed, like a deer which sees a car and cannot stop in front of the, cannot move in front of the car. And at 12 years old, I hated myself. I hated the reason why I could not react to the violence of others. So I decided inside to be hard. to become myself one of the ones who humiliates others. I was 12 years old, and I despised humans. I hated people. I hated people. So I began to make jokes to humiliate others before me being humiliated. And I became good at that. I would become the weak person in the group to humiliate the first, so that nobody humiliates me first. I had only one problem. I had nobody close to me. I had no friends. And what kind of studies do you do when you hate people? Well, I became an engineer in robotics to replace humans by robots. That was my job, my friends. And God was gracious with me. When I began to love someone, my heart exploded. I was 25 years old. I was in love with a young woman. My heart exploded, and the pain of the past came back. I had forgotten for 12 years. The pains came back, and I thought I was becoming crazy when all the memories of pain came back. You know how our brain can shut off some pain? But when they came back, I started psychoanalysis because I thought, I'm getting crazy, I need help. But it was my beginning of journey with God. And God was the one who helped me. And I learned to forgive the persons who wounded me. When I was 24 years old, I thought I finished my degree in robotics. I want to never put my feet in a school again. I want to never put my feet in a school again. You can understand why. God led me to study 7 years theology in Switzerland, 3 years in the US, to become education coordinator for a field, and now education coordinator for a whole region. Isn't it interesting? What the devil wanted for harm, God brought good out of it. Do not despise your wounds. Do not discard them. It's the place where God brings amazing surprises of His grace. Some of you have deep wounds, places where you have been wounded by someone or a situation. Forgive. Let the work of the Spirit of God heal you. Perhaps the other will not say sorry. When I was 14 years old, I fell when I was playing football. A guy shot in my arm, broke it in two. I was the kind of people, you don't say I'm sorry. People didn't speak with me. They would use jokes to speak at me and they would discard me. So the guy did not even say sorry. He went away after breaking my arm in two. He never came to tell me sorry. He never said I'm sorry. We would like that. Sometimes it doesn't happen. But in my heart, I needed to forgive him. In our hearts, we need to forgive the ones who have been wounding us. Why? Because we don't want to give power to people to harm our lives. We don't want to give power to people to harm our relationship with God. And if our relationship with God is good, my friends, the power of God is amazing, is real. Miracles are not for the past, they are for today. But for hearts who are aligned with God, who are in tune with God. I'm not speaking about theory, I'm speaking about real stuff. And in my journey, when I pray now with people who have been sometimes, I pray with people who have had ritual abuse as kids, or with people who have been abused, harmed, horrible stuff. I can relate up to a certain point. I will never judge. I can pray with the people. And God can use your wounds to have more love for someone else. Did you know that? Did you know that? God wants to use all who you are for His glory. He wants to use the stuff you consider bad and the stuff you consider good. Because all who you are in the hands of God is a powerful tool which is unique. You are unique And God wants to use you in a unique way. But don't discard any part of your life, whatever wound, whatever difficulty. Bring that to God. Allow Him to use you. And you will end up in crazy stuff. A young man who hated school becomes education coordinator and spends time to study. Can you imagine that? What will be your story of redeeming grace and the power of love of God in your life? That's the question I believe God wants you to answer. Will you let Him go and work through the dirty stuff, whether the things you're guilty and feel bad about, to let Him lead you out of the ditch? Whatever it is, we have a big God. He's able to deal with whatever we did in the past, whatever harmed us. And in general, the wounds we received triggered sins in our life. For me, pride, despising people, wounding others. That's the truth. When you keep an open wound in your life, you will wound others. When you let God heal you, you become a part of God's healing in this world. That's what I wish for each one of you. And this listening to God is not a me and my Jesus alone with no practical impact. It's very practical. Very practical. And it shows. If someone says, I pray with Jesus and I dialogue and they are doing wrong thing, help them to realize that this relationship with God should have an impact. Good fruits in the life. It's very important. We'll do another exercise before our break. When did we say we have the break?
10:45.
Okay, so what time is it?
10:30, yeah. You have another 20 minutes.
Other 20 minutes? Perfect. So what we will do now is we will do an exercise letting God use your imagination. Do you think that David can use your imagination? You know that. Do you think perchance God could use it? Or do you think that David is bigger than your God? You know that Christians were stupid sometimes? Let me tell you what most Christians do. Since my imagination is a place where the devil has messed up, I decide not to use it. I decide not to be concerned about it, and I forget about it. The truth is, your imagination is always there. Will you let Christ rule in your imagination or not? If you don't let God rule, you will be at best a crippled person. At worst, you're a hypocrite, messing up with sin, and you will bring salty water and good water in between, and people will not receive blessings from you because there will be sins in your life which harm all what you do. God wants a heart purity. Entire sanctification is not a theoretical stuff. It's practical. God wants to visit all you who you are, heal you, renew you, so that even your imagination, it's one of the most important battles of your life. Will you let God rule in your imagination? Will you let God rule in your imagination? That's a question, it's very important. Now, how to do that? Well, I don't have a magical technique, but I can give you some advice on how I do it. One of the things is, when I read the Bible, we will do exercises tomorrow, I learned to read the Bible like the people of the first century. In the first century, when you would tell a story, people would imagine the pictures. When people would tell a story, first they would never read silently. Do you know that people never read silently? They would always murmur, speak the words with a low voice or high voice. The first mention of someone speaking without moving their body, reading without moving their body, occurs only in the time of Augustine, end of the 4th century, beginning of the 5th, when he says, I have seen my bishop Ambrose reading, his lips were not moving.
He was shocked. He did not think it's possible. Why? Because reading words is supposed to have an impact on you at all the levels by having you murmur, speak at a low voice the words, so that your body is involved in the reading and that it creates images in your brain. Now, in our modern culture, we have a problem. We are fed with man-made images all the time. So we have become lazy. In video games, the images are made for us. In movies, the images are made for us. So we are not learning that we have this capacity to create images in us. Kids, when they play with a stick, they can say to you, it's a sword, or whatever. They associate a thing with their imagination. Have you noticed that? And at one point, they stop doing it. At one point, they are not able to imagine as freely as before. With feeding children with man-made images, we weaken this capacity of the imagination because we are used to just receive images, not to develop them. That's one of the spiritual challenges we have, very practical. We have to relearn to see pictures. In some ways, in Africa, they are not as wounded in their imagination as people in the West. But God can heal, even here. In Africa, in many places, in Cameroon, I was there, my colleague Cyril was telling me, when I tell the story of a lion, just the children scream. Why? Because they see the picture of the lion in their head. And they are terrified. What does it tell you? They still have this capacity to create images when they hear a story. That was the case in the time of Jesus. You want to study the Bible like in the days of Jesus? Well, some of the parts you cannot, but the part of creating pictures when you see, hear stories is a key part for your reading of the Bible. And it can become a place of encounter. Very simply, imagine you are in the picture, that you are in the story. In our modern world, we have taught you that the Bible, it's a different time, it has nothing to do with today, so don't mess up with today. This is the problem of the modern mindset. In the first centuries, when people would make a painting of the stories of Jesus, they would paint Jesus with the clothes of the time. Did you know that? Of their time. If they would make a painting in the 10th century or a sculpture, Jesus would have the clothes of the time of the sculpture or the painting. At one moment in history, this changes. It's at the moment of Renaissance in Italy. You have the creation of different things. First, you have the scholars of Greece who come and who teach people that the language they read the Bible in is not the language originally it was in. It was Greek for the New Testament. They have the development of the notion of perspective, 3D, where they learn to paint with the perspective approach. And they begin to paint paintings imagining what was the clothes of the time of Jesus. There is a good part to realize there is a distance between us and the time of Jesus. It's a good element, and in studies you need to teach students. But there is a bad part. The bad part is we tell people, these stories are not your stories. These stories belong to the scholars, and we tell you what they mean. You cannot know if you don't know the history or the context. You cannot dialogue with Jesus directly. You need to have a scholarly training in being knowledge. Have you heard about this kind of stuff? Well, knowledge of the culture is a very good thing. But don't hinder people from encountering Jesus. When you read a story, keep it simple. Imagine you're with Jesus. If you have had scholarly training, imagine the best with what you know. But if you have not, it's okay to imagine Jesus with your clothes today. You will not die. Okay? Nobody will die. You know how sometimes we want to impress people with our knowledge and become the only channel for people to know God? Then we feel important. Sometimes scholars, we can do that. And I have been guilty of that sometimes. Let us not make things more complicated like the Pharisees did. Let us keep things simple. When you have a story of the Bible, imagine with your Jesus. If you can know better about the context, learn, it's good. But don't wait to know a lot of things before encountering Jesus and letting him speak to you. We'll have exercises of this type tomorrow. Some verses of the Bible have been designed exactly for this purpose. Did you know that? When John the Apostle writes in Revelation 3:20 that Jesus says, "I am at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door, I will come in and have fellowship with him." Do you think Jesus was meaning we need to open the door and he will come in body and eat with us today physically? Could it be that he wants us to pray and imagine he comes to us and speak with us? Could it be? It seems to me it makes quite a bit of sense. You know? We have an inner world. Do we welcome Jesus in this inner world? When we speak of imagination, I have people who tell me, "Oh, but I don't want to manufacture anything. I want God to speak without me just making images." That's a key question. How do you use your imagination without making things up? How do you use your imagination without making things up? Without just imagining what you would like? Well, it's the learning to move from being to yada. If I want to go to meet Steve in his room, in his place, what is the city you live in, Steve?
Tirana.
I'm thinking I want to meet Steve. I stay in Budapest and I say, "I really want to meet Steve. I hope I will meet him soon," and he's in Tirana. Do you think it could work?
Maybe. I can imagine.
It could be. If Steve has big ears, huge ears, but it could be more efficient if I go to Tirana. If I stay at the door of Steve and I say, "I would really love to meet with Steve." So I wait because I heard that to meet, it's good to wait. So I wait. Now I wait. I wait. I wait. Is it a good idea? Eventually it will come out. It's true. Is there a more efficient technique to meet with Steve? Do you think ringing the bell could help? Not connected? Then knocking on the door? Then you knock on the door.
You shout.
You ask. Steve! Jesus is giving us advice on how to encounter God. He says, "Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Sometimes you have people who say, if you want to have an encounter with God, you just meditate. You sit on your chair, you wait, and at one point God will speak to you. You know what happens for 99% of people? You fall asleep, your mind goes everywhere, and you're tired and you say, "Does that work for me?"
Or you wake up the next morning and say, "Amen."
Yes, yes. At least sometimes you get a good sleep. At least sometimes. But it's a little like if I want to meet with Steve and I don't do steps to be close to him. What steps? Steps to say, "Jesus, is there anything I need to change?" Repentance. Because Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." What we did today, together yesterday. Forgive. That's a key step to remove from the way so that it's a hindrance for me to meet with God. And then to let God use my inner world to encounter him. Jesus said, it said in Hebrews 12:2, "Fix your eyes on Jesus." What does it mean? Does it mean I will make a 3D picture of Jesus, or could it be I imagine I'm with Jesus?
Your imagination is powerful. In Ephesians, it speaks of the eyes of the heart. Don't use it as a technique, but as a journey and a way to encounter God. Which means, a technique, you don't forgive, you don't repent, you don't seek God, you don't invite the Spirit to come in you. You just imagine and you hope you will get a trick on how to get a better grade for your exam. That's trying to trick God. That's not work. But if you repent, invite the Spirit of God in you, open your imagination, you can say, God, is there a place where you would like to meet? And you let the first place come to your mind. That's the yada. For some of you, no place will come. You know what? Being is a good tool also. So think, okay, what would be a good place? An imperfect one. One thing I need to tell to some of you, be imperfect. Learning to listen to God is not perfect. You recognize the tree at its roots. If through the exercise you're encouraged by more love from God and a way to love your neighbor, that's good. That's good enough. So you will recognize the tree at its fruit. So as much as possible, you ask for the next exercise, God, is there a place you would like me to meet you? It can be in a garden, it can be in a house, in a church, in a place you know. Sometimes I have people who meet in a place they don't know. Sometimes they imagine a place and Jesus brings them to another one, okay? As long as it is in agreement with the character that you know from God. Agreement with scriptures. With the love that you know God has for you. Go for it. And to avoid to manufacture, don't just do stuff. Ask open questions to Jesus. And let impressions come back to you. Because your heart has been created with the capacity to hear God speak to you. That's the way you have been created. That's the way all the people in the Bible are speaking about. Have you noticed that the whole Bible, it's a bunch of people who hear God speak to them? Do you know that? Sometimes it's real, they see an angel. Sometimes it's a vision. Depends. Both work. If you see an angel, great. Visions are more common from my experience. And visions is letting God use your imagination. So how do you knock at the door of God? You imagine you're in a place with Jesus. Is it simple enough? And you remember, it's not about pulling secrets out of Jesus. It's to develop your love for God and love for your neighbor. As long as this helps you for this relationship with Jesus helps you for having more love for God and more love from God, and for your neighbor, you're in a good track. So, the advice for this exercise, you ask God, is there a place you want to meet me? You let the first picture come, and you imagine you're with Jesus there. Practically, either sitting, standing, as much as possible. If it's 3D picture, color, great. In my case, it's more fuzzy, and it works also. The key way is, don't try to be perfect. Try to connect with Jesus. With your inner world. And if you don't have a place, guess a place you think would be a good place. Do the best guess you can. You can do that. You can imagine you're in your house or in a nice field. It's okay. Jesus will not scold you because you did not imagine the perfect place. Okay? If he wants you to bring you somewhere else, he does. We were with a teacher in geology one time. In South Africa, who was the intellectual type, so we need to pray for to be at peace. He imagines he's in a room and Jesus brings him to heaven to see angels and speak to him. That was an interesting one. I've not had this one yet. The next day, he has become more sensitive to God's voice through that. The next day, Jesus, his senses tells him, don't go to work, don't go to the university, call your friend the doctor. He's not sure, he says, no, I have to go to work. Then he calls the doctor. He calls the doctor, he goes to do a check,
because he was a little bit tired, but no big deal. He discovers through the check that he has a blood clot in the lung. A blood clot in the lung, a little piece of blood which is could kill him, basically. They give him blood thinner, he stays for 2 days in the hospital, and that's done. 2 days later, he's back to church, and he says to the pastor, you need to ask Stefan to speak about listening to Jesus. And the pastor says, but we haven't had that. He says, no, it's different. What's different is, often, we don't give examples how God can use our inner world. Remember, a good tree brings good fruit. So what I expect is that through what we do as exercises, you will have practical reasons, practical guidance on how to better love, to be loved, how to walk with God. So some of you already know how to do that. Some of you is new. I encourage you to try, experiment with it. Imagine you're with Jesus. Either you ask, is there a place, or you imagine a place. Imagine you're with Jesus and ask questions. The art of relationship is questions. Have you noticed Jesus is always asking questions to people in the Gospels? That's the way to dialogue. Ask God questions. Ask. One question I encourage you to ask is, Jesus, do you love me? It's a check question. You're supposed to see Jesus showing love. Some people, they see God hug you. Others, you will sense a yes, a smile. A teenager in South Africa, she said, I saw before me all the events in the recent past where I was protected from harm. If you have read the Five Languages of Love of Gary Chapman, it seems to me God speaks our love language in these moments. So if it's physical touch, the people I guess are more physical touch, often I see they are hugged by Jesus. It depends for each of you. The ones with a service which is given to you, which is your love language, well, Jesus could show you how he helped you recently, even if you were not aware. Just be open and experience. As long as it is peaceful, as long as it is in agreement with Scripture, go for it. When you're not at peace, ask God to bring peace or to tell you why you're not at peace. If you sense it's not the character of Jesus, you ask Jesus to remove what is not from you. And we learn together. Is it good enough? So you can ask, do you love me? And then you can ask, how do you see me? What good do you see in me? Because the first purpose is to receive guidance, the love of Jesus, and guidance on how to let his love transform us. Often we have no idea how Jesus sees us, so you can ask, how do you see me? Or is there something you want to tell me? Or whatever question you would like, and to start a dialogue with Jesus. That would be what I encourage you to do now. Sandra.
Sorry to interrupt you. I think at this point it's important to, when you speak of a place, if I may add, to think of a place where you would feel secure and at peace.
Yes.
Also when you, because sometimes we say, I don't need for Jesus to tell me he loves me. I know he loves me. The Bible says he loves me.
Many people say, I know he loves me. They are there. We need to experience his love. That's the truth. All of us, even the tough ones, you know, because love transforms us.
And I think it's important also that you don't, for those of us who are a bit sometimes perfectionists, to say it's okay if it's not perfect. Yeah, I don't have to be, as Stefan said, a 3D, you know, picture of Jesus, clear, you know. It can be Jesus in jeans. I mean, people happen to see it. It can be, as Stefan said, a fuzzy image. It can be a feeling of peace. It can be a word. I mean, do not restrain the Lord to speak to you, to speak love to you. And then do not speak too much.
Yes, ask a question. rules of politeness. Basic rules of politeness. Many of us, we have not learned these rules. We pray, Jesus, help me with my grandma. Help me with my grandpa. Do this, do that, please guide me on this one, guide me on this one, amen. If I come to Dalia and I say, Dalia, I want to ask you, how can I do that? And how can I do that? And how can I do that? Please help me here, he may be there. Amen. This was a good, I had a good talk with Dalia today. Would you like that, Dalia?
Not quite.
Be polite with Jesus. When you ask a question, let impressions come. He's a big boy, he's able to speak. We have a real God. And when you sense something positive, don't hesitate to say thank you for the good thing you receive. It's the simplicity of the relationship God wants. Jesus said you have to become like little children. Little children, they use their imagination. Don't be afraid of that. As long as it is in agreement with the scriptures, the character of God in scriptures, and with the peace in your heart, and that it makes sense. Okay? So let's take this time to experience each of us. Lord Jesus, we give you this time. We are imperfect. So our imagination is imperfect. If there are some things which are not from you, we can ask you to remove them to purify us. This sanctification which is so important. But what we want is to meet you, to hear you, hear your love, and receive guidance in your grace. Use this time, Jesus. We consecrate it to you. Holy Spirit, visit my brothers, my sisters. Touch our hearts with your love now.